The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Thank you, brother, for that wonderful prayer. Amen. I think it's a very appropriate prayer for the subject that I've got on my mind this morning. I want to start with the text in the Psalms. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 14. I'm just going to read this and then maybe come back to it in just a little bit as we get close to the end. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 14 says this: "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, what I want you to notice before we get started here is there are two things here that this brother says: I want these two things to be acceptable in your sight. He doesn't say, "I want my words only to be acceptable in your sight." He says, "I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight." Now, I want to flip over for a second to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. Let me use this silly illustration for just a second. Since it's football season and we're all probably watching football games periodically, I want you to think for just a second. If maybe your favorite football team, whatever it may be, let's just say Alabama for instance. Let's say that Alabama is in desperate need of a quarterback. And you read the reports and you're watching the news and you're reading the newspaper and all these things. And you see that Nick Saban has got two candidates for quarterback that he's going to potentially try to get to sign with Alabama this upcoming season. And you begin to read about these two candidates. And one of these candidates, they begin to describe, and he's very tall. He's very strong, doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. He's extremely fast. He can jump over a dump truck. He's extremely accurate in the way that he throws. And everything about this guy, when you look at him and you watch him play and you watch him practice, is like, that's the guy we got to have. That guy's incredible. Now, the other candidate over here can barely put one foot in front of the other without falling down. He's thin, he's skinny, he's not very strong, he's not athletic at all. What would you think if Nick Saban said, "That's the guy that we want"? What would you think about that? Let me tell you, the newspapers and the internet would literally explode with all the vile, rude, nasty comments. "I can't," and he probably wouldn't have a job very long, the coach would, if he chose this guy over here. But that's how we do things. That's how we are trained in society, is it not? To go by what appears to be the best. Go by what, by the appearance of something, what looks like it's the best. Now, you get somewhat of a similar biblical picture of that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, because Israel is in need of a king. Because the king that they wanted didn't pan out. There's a shocker. And God says, "I'm going to appoint a king." So he goes to the prophet Samuel and he says, "Listen, I want you to go to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and I want you to tell Jesse to gather his sons together, and among them, from one of those boys, I'm going to pick a king for Israel." So Jesse kind of does that. He halfway does that. And so Jesse gets his sons and he lines them up, and Samuel says, he looks at them, and it says, "And it came to pass," this is in 1 Samuel 16:6, "and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, 'Surely, surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" All right, he does what we do. He looks at the quarterback. He looks at this guy who apparently was quite a specimen. Right. He says, "Surely." In a way, he would be saying, "There is not a doubt in my mind. This is the guy." The Lord says, "Nope, that's not him." Right. And they run them through there, one after another, after another, after another. And the Lord says, "Nope, nope, nope, nope." And finally, Samuel says, "Is there anybody else?" Right. There's one left, but he was such an unlikely candidate that he's out there tending the sheep. We didn't even call him in. We just knew it would be one of these other guys. And this is what the Lord says: "But the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth," he's talking about the first guy, "for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Amen. The Lord looketh at the heart. Amen. On the heart. Now, that is a valuable lesson for us to keep in mind. I want you to flip over to Mark, the 7th chapter. Mark, the 7th chapter, for just a second. The Lord does not look at the outward appearance. The Lord doesn't see it the way we see it.
Right.
The Lord looks deeper, and sometimes the Lord is looking at something that we cannot see.
That's right.
In Mark, the 7th chapter, you've got what I call a stink. There's another stink between the Pharisees and Jesus. This stink is not over him proclaiming he's the Son of God. This stink is not over him saying, I've forgiven somebody's sins. This stink is not about him healing on the Sabbath. This stink is about people not washing their hands. Okay? In Mark, the 7th chapter here, the Pharisees see some of Jesus' disciples eating, and they're watching them so closely, they say, hey, they didn't even wash their hands. And the Bible says here, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that it is to say with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And then it goes on down in verse 5, it says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? They're holding very tight to this tradition. Maybe they were germaphobes or something. I don't know. But they're ridiculing and criticizing Jesus' disciples because they're not washing their hands before they eat. And this is what he says to them. And he answered, Jesus, he answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You might could title this sermon Lip Service. It says, this people honoreth me with their lips, but what is God looking at? The heart. It says, they honor me with their lips, but it is their heart that is far from me. And he goes as far as to call them hypocrites. The word hypocrite there means an actor.
Right.
That's something we can relate to since we're all obsessed with watching TV and movies all the time. We know what an actor is. You know, when I was a kid, the movie was Superman. It was the Christopher Reeve Superman. All right, everybody knows, you know, Christopher Reeves. He was the Superman, and I'd watched that as a little boy. And you know, if I watched that and I walked by a towel, I was going to drape it over my neck and pretend I was Superman. I mean, this guy could stop a train. He could catch a speeding bullet. He had laser beams coming out of his eyes. I remember some scenes where he would blow and freeze a lake. I mean, he'd do all kinds of things. He even flew so fast around the world, he made it back up. That's Superman. But guess what? When the director said, cut, Superman was just a man like everybody else.
Right.
He was pretending to be Superman.
Right.
He wasn't really Superman. He was just putting on a show. You could take that, you know, Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone, anybody, Rockies?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, great movie. I loved it. Me and Josh used to put on oven mitts after we watched Rocky and just beat each other up. We loved it. But Sylvester Stallone is not a boxer.
Right.
He didn't really beat the Russian boxer. He was pretending. He was acting. He was pretending to be something that he really wasn't. Now, that's not bad. That's his job, and that's what they do. And it's, we watch it, and we're entertained, and it's great. But he's telling these people, you're just a bunch of actors.
Right.
That's all you are, is a bunch of actors. But at the end of the day, when I look down and I open up that chest and I look at that spiritual heart,
yeah,
you're nothing like you want. You know Christopher Reeves, you know Superman?
Yeah.
You know, Superman fell off a horse.
Right.
Broke his neck. Was a paraplegic the rest of his life and ended up dying from those complications because he wasn't really Superman. And he's telling these people, you're not what you pretend to be.
Right.
Now, everybody out here may look at the outward appearance, but I'm looking at the heart. And you're doing nothing but acting. Now, I want to look at a couple people here in the Bible and examine them for just a second. I want to start in Luke, the 7th chapter. The Lord looks at the heart. What would the Lord see if he looked at your heart? Would the Lord say to you, you're just acting. You're doing a good job of it, but you're just acting. You're not really what you seem to be on the outside. In Luke, the 7th chapter here, we have a beautiful, beautiful picture. Starting at verse 36, and it says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. The Pharisee is desiring Jesus to come eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, the man spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth himself, for she is a sinner. For some reason in my mind, when I picture this woman, I just picture somebody that's nasty and filthy. She knew she was a sinner, and everybody else knew that she was a sinner. And she hears that Jesus is in this man's house, and she comes up and she stands behind Jesus. And she begins to cry. And she takes an alabaster box of ointment, and the Bible says she's standing behind him crying, and she bends down and she begins to wash his feet with tears. Now these are not feet. I realize that they're the feet of Jesus. But these are probably very calloused, dirty feet.
Yeah.
These are not a picture of beautiful feet, okay? There's people out there that probably have some nice looking feet, but for the most part, we've got ugly feet, okay? They're not the most attractive part of our body. But Jesus walks many miles, and he didn't do it in a pair of $200 New Balance shoes. He's walking in sandals, or he's walking barefoot, and it's in the dust. These are some dirty, calloused feet.
Right.
And she gets down on her hands and feet, and she takes her tears, and as her tears fall down on his feet, she begins to take her hair, and she wipes them. And not only does she wipe these casty dirt, these nasty, dirty feet, she begins to kiss them. And the Pharisee's watching this going on, and she also takes the alabaster box of ointment, and she anoints them. And the Pharisee's watching this, and he's thinking, man, listen. If you knew, which he's questioning who Jesus is just by thinking that. He's questioning the authority and the power and the deity of Jesus just by suggesting that he doesn't know who this is. It says, if you knew who this woman was, you'd know how nasty she is. You know that she's a filthy woman of the city, and her entire reputation this whole city knows. And then Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Jesus begins to say this. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. Now picture this woman. Now, what state does this woman have to be in to get down at the feet of Jesus, waste something that was probably very valuable to her, get down and humble herself before everybody for all to see and to kiss the nasty, dirty, calloused feet of this man Jesus? This woman has gotten way more humble than most of us will ever get.
Right.
Most of us are way too concerned with somebody seeing all that.
Right.
Most of us want to get on our knees and cry out to the Lord and beg the Lord for mercy and for forgiveness only when nobody's watching. But when we go out in public, we're worried about that outward appearance.
Yeah.
We want to look religious and we want to talk religious and we want to sing religious. But the last thing we want to do is get down and kiss the calloused feet of our Savior in front of everybody.
Right.
But this woman is so broken. And that's the key to everything I want you to hear to this morning.
Amen.
This woman is broken over her sins.
Amen.
The devil wants you to believe that your sins are not that big a deal.
Right.
That's what he wants you to believe. Now, he'll say, because this is how crafty he is, yeah, you're a sinner. You are a sinner. You know, I'm not going to deny that you're a sinner. But it's not that big a deal that you're a sinner. It's not that big a deal. And your sins aren't as bad as that other person's sins. Let me tell you this. When your knowledge and understanding of how wretched you are grows cold, your love and admiration for your Savior will grow cold.
Amen.
Because it is seeing yourself the way this woman saw herself that gives you the strength and the desire to get down on those knees at those calloused feet.
Amen.
And she begins to kiss the feet of Jesus. Now, Jesus continues on and he says, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. He goes on down there in verse 15, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Now her faith, this is for another day, her faith did not save her from an eternal hell.
Right.
We can talk about that later. But this is a woman that came to Jesus, and there is no evidence that she came to him with a peaceful spirit.
Right.
She came to him tormented. Why? Because the life that she had been living and the law that God had written in her heart did not line up. They were contrary to one another. They opposed one another. And that scenario should break a child of God.
Amen.
That scenario should take a child of God to say, I don't care who sees. I don't care what it costs me. Here's my Savior. I'm getting on my feet. I'm giving Him all I've got. I'm humbling myself. And I'm begging and I'm crying out to me because He is my only hope.
Right.
There is nothing in this world that can take away this crushing burden that I've got on me, that I'm a filthy, worthless sinner, except going to the feet of Jesus. Her faith saved her from leaving that day feeling that way.
Amen.
So she leaves that day. You know what she's craving? She's craving peace.
Amen.
I need peace in my life. And she finds it when she goes to Jesus. Now, there's a ride at Disney World. Some of y'all have been to Disney World. There's a ride at Disney World, and I don't know the name of the ride. It's at Epcot. I call it the golf ball ride because it's the giant golf ball. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys. What is it? Anybody know? I don't know. It's the golf ball ride is what I call it. So it's a huge golf ball-looking thing, and you get on this little cart, and you kind of roll through it, and you go around, and it kind of shows you the progression of the developments of society and man. And some of it's bogus. You know, some of them need to read the Bible, but you know, some of it's pretty neat. Like, well, here's the first whatever, telephone, and it goes on down. It kind of shows you. But you're riding through this, and you're just seeing little scenes. There's little scenes off to the side, and there'll be a guy talking in a speaker back behind you. You'll ride through it, and maybe the guy's doing this. It's nothing elaborate. But they'll say, you know, here's the first telephone. And you're from a distance, you're looking at just a scene. And your mind's kind of processing, and I like to fill in all the gaps with, you know, the scenes and all that stuff. Well, I want you to imagine if you were on a ride and you were going through the biblical scenes. One scene you're going to come across is you're going to see Jesus standing there. You're going to see a woman at his feet. You're going to see her kissing his feet. And you're going to look at that and you're going to think, man, all that just was wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? There's a woman on her knees kissing the feet of Jesus. What a beautiful picture. And you go on a little bit. You're going to come across another scene of somebody kissing Jesus. The only other scene in the Bible that I can find of somebody kissing Jesus. And what you're going to see in that scene, it's going to, in your mind, like, what a beautiful scene. Here are soldiers coming up to Jesus, and Jesus is being surrounded by soldiers. But, oh, look at the scene there. One of his disciples is so dedicated to him and loves him so much that in his last moments before his Savior is taken away, he stands before him and he kisses him. What a beautiful scene. From a distance, that's what it looks like. Two people honoring Jesus with their lips. But one of them's heart is far from him.
Amen.
Far from him.
Right.
Obviously, we're talking about the man Judas, who comes up to Jesus. You know, a kiss is a sign of affection. If you come up and kiss me, I'm going to think you like me pretty good. Okay? I kiss my wife. I kiss my children. It's an expression of love. It's a sign of affection.
Right.
Judas stands before Jesus, displaying from the outward appearance a display of affection. I love the Lord. I've been with the Lord. We've gone 3 years together, 3.5 years together. I've seen the miracles. I've been there with Him. I've carried the money back. I've labored. My feet are calloused and dirty too because every mile He's gone, I've gone. See this beautiful display of affection, but Judas's heart was not concerned with that Savior.
Amen.
His heart was on 30 pieces of silver. That's what his heart was on. But this woman, was kissing him in a whole different way.
Amen.
And her heart was not far from him.
Right.
Her heart was crying out to him and begging. Because that's what she needed.
Amen.
She needed peace She needed to feel that her Savior loved her. She needed to touch Him. And she was at her feet worshiping Him.
Yeah.
Now, I preach this as much to me as anybody else, more to me than anybody else. Aren't we concerned with that outward appearance a little too much?
Amen.
Don't sometimes we come to church because we're kind of expected to be here? And we want to look good. And we want to look religious. And we want to look spiritual. And we want to do the dance and play the song and act the part.
Yeah.
Jesus called that hypocrite.
Right.
Acting the part. He said, I look way past your fancy suits and your flashy smile and your beautiful singing voice and all the underlinings and notes you've got in your Bible. I look past all that.
Amen.
And I look deep down inside of you.
That's right.
Something that maybe nobody else sees, and I look at your heart. Does He see us acting? Or does He see us at His feet, humbly before Him, not caring who sees, crying out for the Savior? Now, when we come to Jesus, do we come to Him with the spirit that this woman did? Pharisee did. Pharisee didn't bother to give Him water for His feet. He didn't bother to anoint His head with oil, and He gave Him no kiss. And Jesus points that out.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, when we come to Jesus, bring your oil.
Amen.
Bring your tears. Bring your lips. But also bring your heart.
Amen.
Because that's what He's looking at. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Are the meditations of your heart acceptable in His sight? Or are we acting? I can tell you this from my own experience, and I've said it already and I'll say it again. The more clearly I see my wretched, wicked sins,
yeah,
the more dearly I hold on to my Savior.
Amen.
That's a fact. I hope those things have been profitable to you. I hope you came today with your oil and with your tears and with your heart in the right spirit. May God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.